Call this meeting of the Lincoln County Board of Commissioners to order. It is 9:30 a.m. and we are in the Board of Commissioners Room 108 in Newport. First item on our agenda is to establish a quorum. We have all three commissioners present. Next item is a recognition proclamation. This is proclaiming the month of September 2018 as Recovery Month in Lincoln County. Commissioner Hall, will you do the honors in reading the proclamation? And I believe we have some presenters from Public Health.
Glad to do that, Mr. Chair. Whereas behavioral health is an essential part of health and one's overall wellness, and whereas prevention of mental and substance use disorders works, treatment is effective, and people recover in our area and around the nation, and whereas preventing and overcoming mental and substance use disorders is essential to achieving healthy lifestyles, both physically and emotionally, and whereas we must encourage relatives and friends of people with mental and or substance use disorders to implement preventive measures, recognize the signs of a problem, and guide those in need to appropriate treatment and recovery support services. And whereas to help more people achieve and sustain long-term recovery and learn how recovery positively benefits well-being, the Prevention Coalitions of Lincoln County, PODA, and CEDAR, together with the Confederated Tribes of the Sletz Indians, Lincoln County Health and Human Services, Seashore Family Literacy Center, Celebrate Recovery, and many local treatment and recovery support organizations are sponsoring events to celebrate recovery and well-briety during the 29th Annual National Recovery and Well-Briety Month, including the 10th Annual Walter Ackerson Jr. Hands Across the Bridge event on Saturday, September 22nd, 2018 at 11:30 in Waldport. A Recovery Well-Briety celebration will follow the bridge event from 12:30 to 3 at the Seashore Family Literacy Center, featuring live music, food, activities, and more. South County Prescription Drug Take-Back Day, also September 22nd from 10 a.m. to 2. Residents can dispose of unused or expired medication for safe disposal at the Lincoln County Sheriff's Substation behind Waldport City Hall. Now, therefore, we, the Lincoln County Board of Commissioners, do hereby proclaim September 28, 2018 as National Recovery and Well-Briety Month in Lincoln County and encourage citizens to celebrate recovery, spread the word, and support these community efforts.
Thank you. Welcome. How are you? Thank you. How are you today?
Thank you so much for having me. My name is Jess Palma. I'm with Lincoln County Public Health.
And my name is Rick Booth, and I am from Celebrate Recovery, Lincoln County, and I live in Waldport.
We just want to take a few minutes to thank you for acknowledging September as Recovery Month. This is a month that's really important to many people throughout our community, including individuals, families, neighbors, friends. Anyone that you can think of has been touched by mental health or addiction issues. One of the things that I think is really important to highlight with Recovery Month is that prevention works. You know, you said it right there, prevention works, treatment is effective, and people recover. This is a great time to start those conversations with loved ones or with youth about the risks of substance use or gambling or, you know, a change in their mental health. Those conversations don't have to be one scary 1 hour the talk. You know, it can be 5 minutes on the way to the grocery store, after school, you know, creating a regular conversation about these concerns and about these issues. This is also a really good time to encourage people, you know, to seek treatment or to connect them to resources to support, you know, to support their journey into recovery. And I'll let Rick speak a little more about the event that's coming up on Saturday.
We have a real good group of individuals that are bringing their different recovery programs to the event this year. We've paired up with Chance, which was new last year, Community Helping Addicts Negotiate Change Effectively, and they've become a sponsor of us. Of course, PODA, The Tribe, Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, Aleton and Aleteen, Dual Diagnosis of Oregon is coming from Portland, My Sister's Place, Lincoln County Public Health, the Harm Reduction Coordinator, will be joining us. The APARC, which is the Addiction Prevention and Recovery Committee, will be there. Mental Health Advisory Committee will be there. We mentioned the Drug Take Back Initiative. That'll start at 10. We start at 11:30 at the Bridge. So they're there a little early. They're going to leave a little early, but they're going to be there. We have the Spiritual Drummers. We have a keynote speaker. Chelsea will be joining us from Chance. We have four other testimonies. Angel Job Corps is joining us. Many, many, many groups, and we just hope everybody comes and visits with us that day from 11:30 to 3 o'clock in Waldport.
Very good. Questions, comments from committee?
Comment, if I might, Mr. Chair. In addition to all the other things already mentioned, I love to see events like this, especially ones now that have gone on for several years, happen, because in addition to all the other challenges we know about associated with recovery, certainly an ongoing battle locally, state, nationally, to provide adequate resources, that the issue of stigma is still very real. I think over the last 10 to 20 years, we've seen great strides in people understanding that addiction and mental health is not a character flaw. It is a brain disease, and that people should not feel any shame or reluctance to come forward and ask for help. And I think events like this go a long way toward achieving a community set of values that recognize that.
Very good. Commissioner Thompson? I was going to say, I think it's great to hear so many different organizations working together, building partnerships. I think when we work together collaboratively, that's when we have the greatest likelihood of success. And I had Hands Across the Bridge on my calendar. I'm not a fan of open air heights, but I was assured I could be on one end or the other. But turns out my daughter, who just had our second grandchild, is having a birthday celebration that day, so I will be in Portland. But my thoughts will be with you.
Thank you.
And again, I think the fact that so many different agencies are working together, and that this has become an annual event, that speaks to the value and the significance of it. And the last thing I'll say is the last time I had an alcoholic drink was December 7th, 1987.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
I thank you for your efforts, and if there's nothing else, I'll entertain
you. I'll make a comment. This is becoming one of our society's biggest problems, and it's getting to be more and more things to be used, and there's money to be made in it. That's one of the problems. And your challenge, I appreciate all the things you're trying to do, but it looks like to me like we're losing a lot of the battles. And it results in healthcare problems and all kinds of governmental problems related to it. I appreciate what you're trying to do. I hope you're successful, but you've got seems like a larger burden facing you in the future if you look down the road.
We'll keep striving. That's all we can do. We'll keep joining together. We'll keep holding hands, and one day it may come to fruition. My date is September 12, 2004. I just celebrated 14 years.
Congratulations.
And I think, your comment about it getting worse and there's a lot of cost for governments and communities and the healthcare, I think that just speaks to the need for prevention, and preventing these problems from ever happening so that people don't need treatment, so that, employers aren't paying for or aren't costed that missed work time, and families aren't hurting, from the disease of addiction and other mental health issues. So that I think that speaks strongly to, what we need to do as a community. And just any of our prevention efforts, getting curriculums out in the schools, having those conversations, reducing that stigma so that people do seek help before it becomes a huge issue, or even if it has become a huge issue, seeking that help so that they can change it.
One of the changes that I know is happening within our health and human services, behavioral health, and certainly public health, is rather than just sitting and waiting for the individuals to come to the county, we're developing a variety of activities that I would call outreach activities, where there's an effort to go out into the field and meet these individuals that have these challenges on their turf. So could you talk a little bit about what public health is doing in that area?
So I cannot cover every single thing that public health is doing, but some of the things that we're working on.
Sure.
My colleague Jennifer Versteeg is the prescription drug overdose coordinator, and she's working not only in Lincoln County, but also Lynn and Benton. And so she's doing a lot of outreach to get naloxone, which is a drug that can be used when someone has overdosed on opioids, and it's only specifically for opioids. So if they've overdosed on alcohol or anything else like that, it's not going to help. But she's working on getting a lot of that information out to the communities, as well as there's this really great campaign called Take Meds Seriously Oregon. And it is a great resource for teachers, parents, community members. It's got information on how to start those conversations around prescription drug abuse, misuse, some red flags to look for. But it also lists the locations of all of the Dropbox locations. So on Saturday, part of that event from 10 to 2 p.m. in South County, there will be a prescription drug take back kind of pop-up at the sheriff's substation. And that's really important because, we know that a lot of, this opioid addiction has started with people either when they were prescribed the medication themselves, and then they continued to use it and their body got hooked on it even though they were using it as prescribed, or getting it from a friend or a family member, whether the family member was like, oh, no, well, your ankle's sprained. Here, take this Vicodin. That will help. Or, just going what we call, med shopping, right, going through the medicine cabinet, or some people keep it above their fridge or whatever. So that is a big an opportunity, to reduce those chances of those meds falling into the hands of people that will later get hooked.
Very good.
On the subject of prevention and its importance and how we as a society do not come remotely close to investing in it. I remember a few years ago when I was on the Governor's Council on Alcohol and Drug Programs, and one of the presentations we had, this was national data, not sure how valid it still is or how we stack up in Oregon, but it said nationally, for every $1 we spend on prevention, we spend $52 on cleaning up. It's human and societal costs.
Very good. All right. I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move that we proclaim September 2018 as Recovery Month in Lincoln County.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
That motion carries. Thank you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, next item on the agenda is the adoption of the consent calendar. These are items of a routine nature or items that have come before us before. I'll entertain a motion, or staff or commissioners may wish to highlight an item. You may
make a motion to adopt the consent calendar.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That motion carries. Next item on our agenda is a public hearing. This is a comprehensive plan map amendment from agriculture to forest land, and a zone change from AC, agriculture conservation, to TC, timber conservation, case file number 10-LUPC-ZC-17. And is there any commissioner who wishes to have the ordinance read in its entirety? Okay, in that case, I'll read it by its heading. This is Ordinance Number 503, amending the Lincoln County Comprehensive Plan map to provide a designation of forest land and zoning map designation of TC, timber conservation, on property located approximately 1/4 mile west of Highway 229, referred to as the Siletz Highway, along the south side of Ojala Road, and further identified on Lincoln County Assessor's Map Number 09-10-28 as Tax Lot 1102, and declaring an emergency. With that, I'll open the public hearing. Do any commissioners have a conflict or abstentions or ex parte contacts?
No.
And I do not either. Okay, this is a public hearing for the case number, case file number 1-LUPC-ZC-17 to consider the recommendation from the Lincoln County Planning Commission to approve a request by applicant Stephen J. Davenport, trustee, for a comprehensive plan map amendment from agricultural lands to forest lands and a zone change from A-C agriculture conservation to T-C timber conservation on property identified on Lincoln County tax assessor, Lincoln County assessor's map 09-10-28 as tax lot 1102. Property is located approximately a quarter mile west of Highway 229, referred to as the Siletz Highway along the south side of Ojala Road. Staff, we're ready for your comments.
Thank you. For the record, I'm Assistant County Counsel Jerry Herbage, and you have before you a hearing, and the hearing is designed, of course, to allow any interested party to testify or present evidence. This will start with the staff report. Wei Radomski is representing the Planning Department, and she will soon give the staff report. Also, she will indicate to you the items to be introduced into the record. Following that, then order of procedure is for applicant's testimony and evidence. My understanding is that attorney Kurt Karstens is here representing Mr. Davenport as the trustee. And so he would like to testify. If there are any opponents, they would go next. And then if there's opponents, rebuttal, and then close the hearing. You have, as you noted, a proposed ordinance. I did that because at the initial hearing, there was no opposition. We'll see what happens today. And if the board is satisfied and you make a motion to approve, you can indeed approve the ordinance today with the emergency clause. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
All right. Well, we have no questions at this time.
Good morning. Wei Radomski, Senior Planner with the Planning Department. So the applicant, Stephen Davenport, is requesting for a comprehensive plan change from agricultural land to forest land and a zone change from AC, agricultural conservation, to timber conservation. So the request really is for a zone change from AC to TC, but because AC, agricultural conservation, has a different comprehensive plan designation than TC, timber conservation, they also need to change the comprehensive plan from farm to forest. So you have these two exhibits here. And the subject property is outlined in red. It's about 63 acres in size. And you can see on the one on the left, aerial photo of the area that the land use predominantly in the area is dispersed residential, some pastures, and forest land. You can see there's this photo is from 2013, so there was a clear cut near it in 2013. And then the exhibit on the right is our zoning map. The green is TC for timber conservation, and the tan color is AC for agricultural conservation. So the applicant is requesting to apply for zone change, and that's authorized under Lincoln County Code Section 1.1235, quasi-judicial amendments. Under this code provision, applicants can apply for the zone change if they believe one of three criteria is met. So the three are that one, there's been substantial change in the character of the surrounding area where a zone change is warranted. Two is that the zoning adopted was an error. And the third is that there's a public need for the zone change. So the applicant is applying under a second one, which is the zoning adopted was in error. Now I'm going to be just listing the other applicable criteria, starting with Oregon statewide planning goal. Because this is going to be a zone change and a comprehensive plan change, where it's actually changing our comprehensive plan that's acknowledged by the state, I have to also cite the policy the state has so that we are consistent with those. So Oregon statewide planning goal 3, agricultural land, is one of them. And then also Oregon statewide planning goal 4 for forest land. Then for Lincoln County comprehensive plan designations, that's Lincoln County Code forest lands section 1.0190 subsection 1 and subsection 2 for agricultural lands. Further, the zone designations is under Lincoln County Code section 1.1373 agricultural conservation and section 1.1375 timber conservation. So those are the applicable criteria, and as I stated earlier, that the applicant is applying under the zoning error criterion, and basically the statewide planning goal 3 states that, or defines agricultural land as in Western Oregon is land of predominantly class 1, 2, 3, and 4 soils. And for the subject property, about 88 or almost 89% is comprised of class 6 soils. So predominantly over 50% of the soils present on the subject property is not class 1, 2, 3, or 4, but class 6. And there's only about 11% of the 63 acres that's actually class 3, which will be part of the agricultural land soils type. So based on the soils present, the applicant is saying that zone error because the soils are actually for timber production more so than agricultural uses, and the statewide planning goal 3 would
Mr. Chair, can I ask a question at this point?
Sure.
So would you say that most likely that situations like this have come to us several times through the years, and what we usually hear is that when it was necessary back in the 70s to lay zoning lines throughout the county, the process had to be done probably with more haste than it shouldn't have been, and in some cases, in a lot of cases, the lines got drawn just to reflect the predominant use in the area, that there probably was not a specific look at the quality of the soils on this property, so it was just really easy to draw a line, and that's how we end up with a property like this zoned agriculture that really shouldn't be. Is that fair to say?
Yes, that is fair to say.
Okay, so
On February 26th of this year, 2018, the Planning Commission had a public hearing considering this request, and the Planning Commission adopted their findings, conclusion, and final order on April 9th of this year, 2018, and in their findings, conclusions, final order, they determined that there is substantial evidence in the record to demonstrate that the proposed comprehensive plan map amendment and zone change are in accordance with the comprehensive plan goals and policies and statewide planning goals. They also found that there is substantial evidence in the record demonstrating that the subject property was zoned in error and therefore meets the requirements for a zone change from agricultural conservation to timber conservation.
Okay. Any questions?
No,
I had one question. Just can you clarify for the record then what all is in the record? So you have the staff report and the map.
The staff report and these two are exhibits. Sorry, do you mind handing me those photos?
Yes.
Thank you. So these two photos are also, these are supplied by the applicant just to show a closer, do you mind holding one side of it? Just to show what it looks like. So it's mostly treed, and there's a large building here that's basically for agricultural uses. And then and just another shot of it. That's what it looks like. So these will be exhibits for the record.
Question?
Yes.
Yes, Commissioner Hall.
Why does the proposed ordinance include an emergency clause? What's the necessity for that? This is Council Herbage for the record. The reason is that generally we do that for land use, especially, you know, no opposition. But land use technically, so we did this differently in Curry County. Land use technically is adopted under the provisions of chapters 215 and
197.
And it allows for ordinances to become effective immediately. This involves just the one property. We think that it's appropriate that, in light of the fact that there was no opposition and that it's land use, that be adopted to be effective immediately. The public's had plenty of opportunities beginning in February. The findings were adopted in April and so on.
Okay. Other questions?
No.
So I guess I have a question. Why are we doing this? I mean, is it just simply that there's been a zoning error when the designations were originally set up and we're just trying to correct a mistake? Or is,
so,
I mean, that's nice, but what else?
Typically, when people change from AC to TC or vice versa, there's a motivation behind that. And the past cases we've, you know, considered for since the department's been in existence as mostly for to get a dwelling on a subject property. So the requirements for obtaining a dwelling on AC and TC are very different. And on TC, it's a lot easier, so to speak, than to get a dwelling on AC. And so a lot of people would change from AC to TC just to try to get a dwelling right. And they would probably do the analysis first to see if they can get the dwelling under the TC code before they apply for the zone change. So the motivation here, as I understand, is probably try to get a house on this property.
Okay. So that was testimony that was gathered during the Planning Commission's hearings?
I don't recall. It's been quite a while ago, but that's okay. My understanding.
Okay. My understanding from Director Husing in the back is that it was, so
okay.
That answers the question.
The matter was discussed that night, I recall.
Okay.
Is there a tax implication? A little less money on DC land, on AC land, or is it the same?
I don't want to answer a question because I don't do taxes. Sorry.
Well, my thought would be that if eventually you put a dwelling on there, that would certainly increase the value of the property, which would certainly generate additional tax revenue. Mm-hmm. So that seems to be a positive in the long run.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Any other questions from commissioners? Any other testimony from staff?
No.
All right. Next be an opportunity to receive applicant's testimony. I believe Council Karstens is here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the Commission, first I can hear the cell door clanking because some of you think I'm still an attorney and I'm not. So I retired about 6 years ago.
Oh.
But
for the record, would you identify yourself?
Kurt Karstens, 444 Ojala Road, Siletz, Oregon.
Thank you.
It turns out that land use planners don't need a license. So, and during my practice, I actually started doing land use in the late 70s and did it all the way through until the time I retired. You will note the absence of Mr. Davenport today. That does not reflect his degree of interest in this issue. What happened was that, as you've heard from staff, we had a hearing in February, and periodically we would check to see when we were going to be coming before you. And I found out yesterday at 3 that we would be coming here today. I immediately emailed Mr. Davenport, and I didn't get him. He's checking his emails all the time. I got him on the phone last night about 6, and it turns out that he's in the middle of a fairly comprehensive construction project over in Toledo, and he had trucks scheduled and workmen coming in, and he's running the show. So I said, well, legally you're not required to be there, and I'll try and explain why you're not there. And he's been with me every step of the way, read everything, appeared at the Planning Commission hearing, and he's vitally interested in this. To respond somewhat to some questions you've asked, what happened was that when his dad died, he had to divide up the estate. And his father
owned this property that you see right here on the north side of Ojala Road. And there were a few cows run on this land historically. But on the south side of the road, there, according to Mr. Steve Davenport, there was no agricultural use whatsoever. And if you were to look at the property, you could easily see that to be the case. We since, and we didn't apply under a change in the neighborhood or anything, but when we acquired this piece up here, we started, you can see some trees in here, we've tried to reforest all of this. So what a little agricultural use may have been there is no longer there. And while I'm up here, as Wei mentioned, this is a logged off area, and this part that I'm touching now, which is east of the Davenport track along 223, was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful forest. And all of us out there hated to see it logged, but the elderly gentleman that owned it ran up a debt of $100,000+ to the state of Oregon. And so his estate had to get the money, and that's why this is logged. It's all been replanted. You can't tell here because this photograph must be several years old. If you were to see a much larger area from the Siletz River, which is at the top of this map, going south and going east and going west, it's virtually all forest except for what's shown in this little bit here at the end of Ojala Road. And as far as agricultural uses, one of these properties along the road has some ability to grow Saturday market type of items. A couple of people have a few cows. Benny Hogel's at the end of the road, and he's got, I think, last time I looked, 3 or 4 cows. So the agricultural use in this area is very slight.
What happened, which you've already been told and kind of guessed, is that when the zoning came through, I can remember probably going to as many as 3 or 4 meetings a week, because all the jurisdictions had to respond to the LCDC goals and guidelines. And a few people, the ones who hired us, knew that there was some real significance to getting these zones exactly right, but most people didn't. And so what happened here, as you can see, and by the way, there's a little bit of lighter colored green because when the estate was settled up, Steve Davenport had to log a few of the trees and they've been replanted. But this piece, which has never had any agricultural use on it, it wasn't looked at closely. And so it just got lumped in with the Davenport cows on the other side of the road, and that's why it is the way it is. So now, one other thing which you saw in those aerial photographs, and by the way, I had Harold Nash do a flyover with a drone so you could get a picture of what was there, and you can just see its massive trees. There's 11, 12, 13% that isn't forest soils, and that's in this area, this agricultural building here, which actually Steve parked equipment here when he was in the process of logging some of this, and he still uses it as kind of a gear shed area. So that's the part that is not forest soils. Question of foundational motivation. Correct. What happened was about 3 or 4 years ago, Steve comes to me and he says, "You know, you used to do land use, didn't you?" And I said, "Yeah, I did." He said, "Well, I would sure like to get a house on this piece of property." And the forest Department of Forestry tells me that this is forest property. And so is there something under the Lincoln County Code that would allow that to happen? So I went and I looked at the code, and if it was forest zone, there is. There's a couple of different things, this one having to do with older houses and lots along the road within what they call a template. And because he told me that this was forest zoned, we went ahead and spent a great deal of time doing the template test, and lo and behold, older houses, lots of lots. Well, before I filed, I thought I'd better double check. And lo and behold, it was ag property instead of forest property. So I have a pile at home about like this of the data to allow a dwelling, but, and I think it's in the Planning Commission file, but it's not directly relevant to what we were doing at the hearing in February. And so we stopped that process and started the zone and plan change, and so that's how we get before you today. And as you've heard, there was no objection from the private sector, and also Ono Husing is always extremely careful about doing something that's maybe not appropriate or is questionable. So he ran this by the local representative of the Department of Land Conservation and got a green light from them on the appropriateness of this approach. Now, all of that being said, I did have a longer factual presentation at the Planning Commission, but as you've heard, there was no opposition. You've got a really comprehensive staff report and findings, so, and you've got a lot of people here that have something else on their mind. So I'll throw it open at this point for questions. We would urge you to vote favorably for the proposed ordinance. Thank you.
Any questions?
No questions from Mr. Garston. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Next be opportunity to receive opponents' testimony. And if you wish to testify in opposition, please come forward and identify yourself for the record.
Cynthia George, I understand that you guys don't just routinely zone change in this county. That's what I was told multiple times. So it's amazing that you're going to consider this. I'd also like to know what your plan on cutting the forest down. So it sounds like these are established trees. So is that one of the other things that the price of trees is real high right now? So everybody's raping the forest. So is that another part of the plan, is to log it all off? But no, I disagree. We shouldn't lose any more agricultural lands, period.
Commissioner Thompson.
When there's only 10% less, there's 10% agricultural land on a piece of property, and it's 90% class 6 land.
Soil.
It should not, soil, it's, well,
same thing.
There was a miszoning at the time, and that's the answer to the question that came up, is why my decision is that by far the preponderance of soil types there should have been classed as timberland in the first place.
Any comments from commissioners?
No, I just echo that. I agree, certainly we have agricultural land in this county is very scarce, but as the soil report indicated, this is not productive agricultural land, or almost 90% of it isn't, and I agree that it appears the original zoning was in error.
Mr. Carstens, you wish to offer any rebuttal?
Just to address the lady's comment, this area that's been logged and replanted within the tract would not have been logged. Similar circumstance to the logging to the east, in that there were four siblings and logging was necessary to get some revenue to balance out the four siblings. Secondly, Mr. Davenport has no intent whatsoever. He's reforested as required by law, and he's growing forest. Thank you.
Thanks. All right, with that, I'll close the public hearing. And commissioners, comments, thoughts? What would we like to do?
I'm ready to move to a vote if you are. Okay.
Entertain a motion.
I would like to move we adopt Ordinance 503, amending the Lincoln County Comprehensive Plan map to provide a designation of forest land and zoning map designation of TC, Timber Conservation, on property located approximately 1/4 mile west of Highway 229. Referred to as the Sletz Highway along the south side of Ojala Road, and further identified on the Lincoln County Assessor's Map number 9-10-28 as tax lot 1102, and declaring an emergency.
Second. Moved and seconded. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 That motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, next item on our agenda would be reports. Commissioners.
I'll pass.
Well, tomorrow is, Friday is the last OPAC meeting, and I stepped down from OPAC, and we'll see who they ultimately decide, but I put my support behind David Yamamoto. But I should take a second to explain. Ocean Policy Advisory Committee, I'm the longest-lasting person on that board in its existence. And the reason I'm stepping down, I've had people ask me this, they said, well, why are you doing that? You could stay. I said, no, that position that I hold has to be a county commissioner. And this is the last meeting they'll have in this year, we believe. Sometimes there's immediate things that pop up. But so if I don't step down at this meeting, then there would be a vacant seat in the interim. And by the time the commissioners get together, I don't know if the governor will make the appointment, but we need time to make the decision, because I stepped down in January as a county commissioner, and that would automatically make the seat vacant.
All right. Well, thank you for your long service on that.
Indeed.
Councilor.
Yep.
And I'll pass on reports. So we'll move to constituent input. This is an opportunity for people to address the Board of Commissioners on any item of interest. We ask you to limit your comments to no more than 5 minutes, and commissioners may or may not respond. Who would like to go first?
I guess my name's almost Steve.
And please identify yourself for the record.
I'm Shereen Malik-Roland. I've spoken to you before about, I'm no longer going to call it biosolids. I think that's a nice way of saying human feces. So I'm no longer going to call it that. So you've heard me speak before about what I've seen it happen to my own livestock, and I'm not going to go into that anymore. I think I've made my case clear on that. What I am kind of angry about and upset is that I have to be here again. I had to take time off work again to come and speak to something that I feel wasn't Kayleen and Alan's job to find out. But thank God almost that bus almost got hit by a sewage truck, or we wouldn't have even been here. And on that note, I'm thinking this Mr. Kennedy guy with the DEQ, he didn't do his job. Plain and simple. If he'd have been checking to see if the permits had been gone from person to person, if he'd been out there taking soil samples, my river, our livelihood would not be threatened. So I find that he's derelict of duties. I find that he's got a theft of service to our community because he didn't do his job. And now lives are threatened. So I see signs up for you, Mr. Hunt, all over town for re-election. So my question is to you, what do you see the vision for your country, for your grandkids, for our future in the water? Where do you stand, and what has this committee done to address these issues? Is it just people going out of their, I mean, I'm with Kayleen and Alan. I have a farm too. I have a full-time job. I left my full-time job today, punched out of work, to come here and ask questions. Their farm work has been pushed to the side as they do basically Mr. Kennedy's job and your guys' job. So my question is, what do you guys see as part of your, I don't know, your place in this? Because this is serious. And if we just keep kicking this can down the road like I've seen for the last couple months, nothing's ever going to be addressed. And we have to do something. It's not about money. It's about lives. It's about our community. And I see people looking up at the clock, and I think this is huge. This is huge. This just isn't. So you just mentioned you had a grandchild. You have a couple grandchild. What do you see the future for your grandchild and the future of our rivers? Because so far I don't see anything happening in the months that I've seen this go on, except Kayleen and Alan and a lot of people doing a lot of research that should have been done in the first place.
So I'm going to step in the middle of this and look at Wayne. We've done a lot. We've done more than any state county can. We're prevented to be in this by the federal government. Okay. We can't do it, what you want to do. I'll let Wayne address it, but if
What do you mean?
I don't know anybody that's ever done as much as this board has done to try to fix the problem. And
so can we stop it?
Wayne, I'll let Wayne answer that. He's the lawyer who's the expert on it. We're trying.
We are. And obviously the issue that we've talked about here is the relationship between federal law, state law, and local law. And what everybody's trying to do here is focus on the fact that we need some authority in order to move forward with this on a local level. And it's been hard for me to explain to people because this is a legal argument that we have to make here. But by law, we are preempted from regulating in this area. So what are we trying to do? We're trying to change the law.
So how do we do that?
That's,
and how can we help you do
that? That's the process we're doing it right now. What we're doing is we're proposing some changes to state law that would actually take this from preempting our regulation of this to give us some authority to do regulation. What I can't tell you, and you're going to have issues on this, is whether or not they're going to give us the authority to do what's being proposed here, which is to ban it. I don't know whether the state's going to grant that, whether they're going to give us that. But right now, we can't even go on what we've been trying to do, and we actually have made a lot of progress, is to get some voluntary regulations, to go to the entities and say, we want more testing of the materials that go in there, both before it goes out and it's applied to the land, when it's applied to the land, and what the impact is on the river. So we can get the information that we need, the solid scientific information, on a local basis here that we can advocate for change. We want to ask the state to give us the ability to regulate further the actual land application. Right now we can't say, you can't do it. The state preempts us by state law from doing that. So the first focus we've done and what we talked about in the Biosolids Summit and my subsequent conversations with Representative Gomberg's office and Senator Roblin's office is we're going to propose some things to try and change that dynamic right now that says that we on a local level can't regulate this. It may be an uphill battle. I'm not saying that we're going to be successful doing it, but we're sure going to.
We're going to be. We don't have a choice but not to be.
Yeah, and so my suggestion would be what you need to do is focus in on those who now currently hold, basically the keys to this particular activity, and that's your state representative and your state senator, because they need to, and frankly, their staffs have been very willing to work with us in terms of proposing specific legislation. And we're going to have something together by the end of September. We're going to do one of two things. We're either going to put what they call a blanket bill, or at least that's my name for it, but basically it's a relating to clause that will introduce a bill saying related to biosolids, and then we'll work during the session to actually get the specifics of what we want in the bill, or we're going to give some very specific pre-session suggestions to them to amend the current law. Now that's the state legislative law.
Okay.
Second front, we're actually having conversations with DEQ to say, what in your administrative rules do we need to change? We talked extensively with the state and with our representatives here during the course of this summit about the fact that DEQ, the concern you expressed with Mr. Kennedy, I'm not going to comment about him personally, but rather the fact that the state of Oregon has a single person who is dedicated to do all the regulatory activities west of the Cascades is absolutely nuts. And we agree with
you about
that.
So he's the only guy?
He's the only guy.
He's the only guy?
Responsibility
for this
west of the Cascades. That's nuts. Now, what they'll come back and do is say, that's the legislature again sets our budget. And they've got to provide the resources for us to do it. We've already advocated. We've already talked to the legislators about increasing.
So we need to vote blue so they care.
They need to say that this is an issue that needs to be addressed more clearly and more directly, and you need more resources there. So we want to change both the environment in which and the regulatory structure that addresses this issue, and we want more resources to enforce the laws that actually exist now. So that's number two.
What
number three.
I wanted to hear.
Number three. If I can keep going, let me talk about other things we've been doing. We have had discussions with the operators in Lincoln County, and I'll say the discussions have been pretty good with at least the municipalities that we've been dealing with. Not necessarily with. There's at least one private provider out there that does this, and that's going to be a problem area. And I know, especially for the Davises, this is the most closest to you in terms of where this is happening there. So we got some work cut out for us to deal with that end of it. But we've been asking them to say, let's forget about right now changing the law. We'll continue moving that direction. What about if you voluntarily agree to do some things? And I've been getting the response back. So one of the things we did, we talked about, was doing the setback and doing it, doubling the distance that's currently required under law. You know, and that's just one thing. That's just one thing. But I, what I can tell you right now is that we've had a very positive reception from those who, in, you know, especially you're talking about Class A vinyl solids coming from Newport. Very positive reception is saying, let's talk about some things we can do to gather more information, to do voluntary setbacks, to talk about the manner in which we apply to make sure if we're going to do application, it's the safest. Those are interim measures, and they've been receptive to doing that, so that we don't have to wait until we can get state law or administrative rules changed. We'll institute those changes right now. I think if I understand this right, and I know the Davises will correct me if I'm wrong, because I haven't had a chance to read exactly what came out of the City of Depot Bay's process to get their wastewater treatment plan.
Depot Bay decided to pull their permit. They pulled their biomanagement plan. Depot Bay.
It's gone.
It's gone. Thank you, Depot Bay.
Let me say this. I think that that was a result of two different things that happened here. One was that the community got together and talked about that. You guys made that change. We also addressed them directly on that particular issue and said, you know, as part of the process that we're doing here too, is to say, can we voluntarily get these entities to look at alternatives? And Depot Bay, to their credit, I mean, said, we're gonna do something different. You know, so we are making changes. It may not be at the speed and to the extent that everybody's desiring, but are we working on this thing? Absolutely.
Thank you. That was all my thing, because I'm like, we have to do something. So thank you, Terry, thank you, everybody.
We're trying.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
It doesn't move fast.
Well, nothing in government ever does.
Commissioner Hall, and then I'll offer.
Okay, just what I would like to add is, you know, you got our attention. We convened the Biosolid Summit, and that wasn't just a meeting where everybody, you know, sat and vented. That has gotten everybody's attention. You know, DEQ and the other folks in Salem, you know, thanks to not only that event, but like the letter from the Confederated Tribes of Sletz Tribal Council, the people in Salem know that there is deep community concern about this. I know we've had contact with Arnie Roblin and David Gomberg, who were both at the summit. You know, Arnie Roblin stood up and said, in response to the people who were saying that DEQ is badly underfunded, he said, yes, it is. And he'd been fighting for more money for DEQ for years. And I took him aside after the summit and I said, next time you have to fight in a committee for more money for DEQ, I hope you realize you've got about 200 more people here who will have your back to do that. So I think it's, you know, it's, things are starting to move, definitely.
I'm saying there's also potential for bills to target inside of budgets or make budget mm-hmm. notes related to this. Now, we can't do anything until after we get through a legislative session, but a budget note, can you can target out a section or a person or a type of thing that you can send money to without affecting the entire budget, because it's hard to get a DEQ budget through, and it's because of the farm people in Eastern Oregon. I mean, what's an issue here that affects us is important, but a lot of the farmers over there don't particularly want to see a lot of regulations coming from DEQ. And so in that case, you go to a budget note and implement specific money to something like biosolid or personnel. But those decisions have to be made by Arnie Roblin to how to get there.
Can I note maybe one other thing, if you're interested? You know, we didn't have it at the Biosolid Summit, but we since posted it on our website. There is an actual list of what we're calling kind of the immediate next steps, the interim next steps, and then the longer-term next steps. And maybe I'll just talk about one of those longer-term next steps. I mean, obviously, we want to talk about alternatives to land application. That's something we need to do on both a local level and then a regional and statewide level. But I think there was a real, it was very compelling, the information you provided to us on the quality of the river, not just from biosolids, but what is it that's causing issues out of the river there. And It was actually heartening to hear that the Oregon Health Authority may have some money that they'll make available for some additional comprehensive, science-based testing. And we've got a great resource and the tribal biologist who is willing to lead that effort to talk about how do we do, you know, necessary testing so we get a better understanding about the whole watershed and the ecosystem there, what's causing the issues in that particular area. And so we're looking to also access some money there. I know the tribe is committed to doing some funding for that, as is the county, to do that, to actually get that understanding of what's causing the degradation and the quality of the water in the watershed. Second thing is we still are moving forward with our well testing pilot project we're going to do too, so that we're going to identify some funds and have that available out here and put together something that we can do some testing on wells.
My understanding that's a joint project, our Public Health Division and Lincoln Soil and Water Conservation District.
Will work with us. Yeah. We'll put some money towards that too.
It's good to hear. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'll just say, as I said at the beginning of the Biosolids Summit, to me this isn't a biosolids issue, it's a water issue. And yeah. I'm committed to cleaning up the water, making sure that my children, your children, our grandchildren have clean water. Do I wish we could do more quickly? Absolutely. If we could do more quickly, would we? Yes. But within the confines that we have to operate as elected officials, within the law, we're doing everything we can. I think you've heard extensive information about what we're doing to try to address the problem. And I mean, to me, the good news is we've got some voluntary compliance, as you've already heard. So even though we don't necessarily have the authority to mandate it, we were able to affect some change and some improvement. So
we're working on it. I appreciate it very much. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I'm going
appreciate
back to work.
Being able to be here. Take care. All right. Anyone else?
Well, I'm sure there's... I didn't even put myself on. I'm sure you'll pull the clock out since I'm up here now, Doug. So, first off...
I had a clock out before, too. Everyone that comes before gets
Oh, yeah,
clock.
I know. That was a nice five-minute jaunt. So I appreciate the fact that you're now asking if there's a conflict of interest first before voting on zoning issues. That's something that's never happened in this office. Wayne, I'm wondering why it is that you haven't called out the Association of Oregon Counties, Mr. Rob Beauvais, and all of his legal mind on this issue. Because for some reason, everybody keeps referring to you as being the go-to on this whole thing because... you're the law, and we all know the law can be bought, right? So, if you watch the 4 days of the Senate hearing for our Supreme Court nominee, you'd find out that, you know who wins? Whoever can afford the best opinion or whoever set the precedent. And so you're now telling everybody that federal law and all these override our county law, but yet you use county law to overrule state law. It just depends on which argument you want. Like the aerial ban, wasn't that you were arguing state law versus county rule? So you kind of flake on whichever.
No, it's the law
issue. Yeah, whatever issue you want to jump on is whatever law you decide to follow.
No.
So somebody brought up out in the Select's meeting that if it is proven that you're harming the public's health, that the county protections could overrule state or federal law. Did you ever answer that person that came to the Select's meeting? Because I didn't even know that existed until here just a week ago, along with that report that identified the 16 different chemicals.
Okay, hold it.
Chemicals.
You're not gonna
badger
my attorney.
Wait, excuse me,
hey.
I'm asking, and it is my turn. Okay, and I'm asking a question, a follow-up from a meeting out in Select where a constituent asked him specifically if there is a protection when you're causing harm that the county can overrule federal and state law. They asked that to you. I've never heard that answered, and it wasn't brought up at the biosolids. And if there is identified contaminants in that river from 2003-2005. Why has it not been retested 13 years later for those components? You guys keep talking about, oh, we're going to go get a grant, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Midcoast, how many thousands of dollars was paid to Midcoast the last 13 years? And we don't have that answer yet.
It's millions.
So.
Thank you for your comments.
Don't block me off every time.
I'll cut you off at 5 minutes.
I bet you will, and I'll be back next week, too.
You keep badgering us.
Yeah, you got no right to tell me anything other than
this meeting's
I have the right to be here.